Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Bob Varsha, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome to the show, gearheads. Max Verstappen wins the Formula One Belgian Grand Prix over his teammate, Checo Perez. Checo had a good day, though. He needed it. And this John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin, Texas with Jonathan Green. We have Mr. Bob Varsha from London. Very exciting to have him over there. From
Jolly old.
Rainy London. And Chris Medlin, who is at Spa. And Chris, unless you got somebody else lined up, you want to introduce your interview you did with Ferrari boss Frederic Vasseur?
Yeah, I was very forceful actually with Fred, and went and waited at the Ferrari garage exit because, of course, he had to go and celebrate a podium. So I was waiting for him to reappear from the pit lane with all the confetti and ticker tape landing around us. And yeah, he was kind of, I guess, a bittersweet day for Ferrari, wasn't it? If we think about the result of the two drivers, so that's where we started.
One podium, one DNF, kind of a race of two sides of the garage. Let's go with the positive part. I mean, that looked like a faultless run to third place, Charles.
Yeah, that I think the race was quite straightforward for us, that we had a good start from pole position. The pace was okay. We had a good strategy, good pit stop, and probably the best pace of the season. That it's a very clean weekend from on the Charles side. A bit more difficult with Carlos with the contact on the first lap. We try to survive until a potential red flag to be able to fix it, but it was the after the show where we said that it makes no sense to continue like this.
Yeah, if we focus on that contact, what did you make of that first lap incident?
There were three or four side by side, turn one, and he had a contact, I think, with Piastri. For me, it's a racing incident, and it's not. But it's a shame. But for Carlos, he has to turn the page and to be focused on the next one. That we'll have two weekends in a row after the break, and the occasion to score good points. That the most important for the team is to come back into the pace and to be there, and with a very strong weekend from everybody.
Yeah, it seems like Ferrari's been a bit up and down at different times this year. Sometimes the pace has been very encouraging, sometimes not quite there. What do you put that down to? And did it kind of surprise you this weekend to be the second quickest team?
You could say exactly the same from McLaren, that last weekend they were P2 and this weekend they were struggling on the with slicks. I think it's so tight in the group that for depending of the characteristic of the car, of the track, of the weather, of the tire choice and so, you can move from P2 to P7, that it is like it is. It will stay like this until the end of the season, and we have to stop to say that one car is in a much better form than another one, that we just have to be focused on ourselves to do the job, and we will get the result that we are expecting.
And you mentioned the break now, a few weeks off before we go to Zandvoort and Monza. How do you reflect on the first half of the season and your first half year with Ferrari?
Yeah, it was a bit up and down, but overall, I think the team has a good reaction, that we are pushing, and the mood is positive, and I think it's good to have this kind of reaction and motivation into the team when we are struggling.
Thank you, Fred.
I want the Fred Vasseur podcast because it would just relax me and put me in a zen space.
Yeah. Listening. I know what you're saying.
I was going to say, for a positive weekend, he sounded
pretty downbeat, I thought.
Well, he's always so zen.
Yeah, I thought it was telling that he said that that was Ferrari's best performance. Says a lot. But also, I do think that the ship has been righted. We've said it before, but Vasseur's the guy is the right guy at this moment for Ferrari.
I think he's one of those that doesn't get too high, does he, when it's a good result? Doesn't get too low when it's a bad one.
Which is probably
exactly what's needed for that team at the moment.
Wonder what that feels like.
Well, he certainly doesn't want to say anything that would get to A, the other teams in the pit lane, it'd be bulletin board material, or B, get into the Italian media and draw scrutiny to Fred said this.
Yeah. You know?
Yep. Yeah, no doubt.
Important skill when you're running Ferrari.
Chris, give us an update from Spa. What's happening?
Right now, Lando Norris is on a phone posing for photos, and I'm going to see if, as we head down the paddock, whether I can grab him once he's done his little press release hit, I believe it is, or a message to fans. So we'll see what we can grab of that, because it was carnage. I nearly got knocked over trying to get in front of him. So yeah, it's quite a lot of fun trying to fight through people. So I'm now, if you can't tell, I'm absolutely filling. Because he's still talking. got to time this right to see if we can make
it. Doing a heck of a job.
But I'm such a pro, aren't I? I'm telling you exactly what I'm doing. Here we go. Lando, P7, better than you expected today? Because at times that looked really tough.
A lot better than I was expecting, yes. After the first half of the race, I was probably expecting maximum top 20. I need to keep walking. The first half was pretty, I'm going to say shocking, because it was pretty terrible. We had no pace, we couldn't attack, we couldn't defend, we were so slow on the straight, and we couldn't use the pace that we had in the middle sector because we're in traffic. So it was looking pretty bad, but we put the soft on like halfway through, and I was expecting to do maybe one more stint, but the pace was an insane amount better, and we somehow ended up P7, so... I'm pretty happy with the result.
Oh yeah, very, very good result. And how do you reflect on the last few weeks and the form McLaren shown, just in general?
I mean, today was a bit of a realization check for everyone. I think I kept everyone, you know, chilled after the last few races, and I think we weren't expecting a mega race today, but we weren't expecting probably to be as bad as what we were. So we'll take the P7, but at the same time, I think we realize there's a lot of other things we need to improve on the car, and on high downforce tracks like here and Silverstone, we're good. But like a piss and silver stone were good. But when you return to a track which has high degradation, kind of normal old stuff resumed, you know, with high deg and bad pace and bad in straights and so on. So we'll review it. I think we weren't expecting a good one, like I said. But we look forward to a break and we'll come back stronger.
A lot of goal for the break?
Probably not, just sunshine and water.
That's absolutely a lie. Water.
Yeah. I'd love to see a listing of where all of the drivers are going
over
the next couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah.
You want a list of ideal locations?
Yeah, I bet that is a very exclusive list.
Mm-hmm. Won't tell us, will they?
Nah.
No, of course they won't.
No, smartly.
They'll just say it was great later.
Hey, well, let me just look through the grid. In fact, let me just run down where the finishing order was. Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc, Hamilton in fourth, Alonso. That's going to be interesting. We'll talk about that, Jonathan. Hamilton, mm-hmm. Alonso, the battle.
Yeah, it's one
George
point.
Russell, mm-hmm. Alonso, I mean, Norris in seventh, Ocon in eighth, Stroll ninth, Tsunoda with a point in 10th, Pierre Gasly, Bottas, Zhou Guanyu, Alex Albon, first Haas car, Kevin Magnussen in 14th. Daniel Ricciardo down in 16th, not the weekend he was looking for. Logan Sargeant, 17th. Hulkenberg's 18th. And, of course, Carlos Sainz and Oscar Piastri both retired. It's a party where Chris is, we can hear.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that's. Nope. I'm now going through with Lando there, but I know that he appreciates, which is to get some through, because it is an absolute pan of VIPs. Everyone wants an autograph or a photo.
Sure.
Wouldn't get anywhere. So when they have to focus on it, they kind of get somewhere quicker. So that's my little trick.
Spa is really difficult that way. I mean, you look down at a map, as it comes down to La Source, the hairpin at the first corner of the lap, it's a very confined area. And Chris mentioned earlier, he was at the upper levels of the paddock. Behind the garages, it steps down, significantly down to the old pit lane, and it's a very confined area. When you go to an event with 60 plus cars, like the 24 hours of Spa.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. It's like an anthill. There's so many people pressed so close together with all of their gear and all of their transporters. How they get all these trucks in and out of that place, which has basically one tunnel, is remarkable. Hmm.
Jonathan, I know you want to talk about this. I mentioned it in our post-sprint show yesterday, and I thought that Lewis Hamilton was going to pass Fernando Alonso because of the positioning in qualifying, but he did not in the driver standings.
And it's Alonso continues to be third, Hamilton now 1 point behind him, and that is because of winning the fastest lap today. So
that's right. That's right.
So, and there's some other ones. Also, Leclerc and Russell now on equal points on 99. Carlos Sainz on 92. Norris with some work to do on 69. But we've got some nice inter-mid-season battles for the Drivers' Championship and in the Constructors, too.
And that's what we strive for, nice inter-mid-season battle.
That's what I like.
Well, you know, we go barking on about it every week about how, you know, ignore what Verstappen and Perez and are doing up front. Look further back where there's some terrific fights going on.
I'm really saddened by the fact that Lewis Hamilton, or that Alonso and Hamilton aren't tied, because that would have been third and fourth tied on points, fifth and sixth tied on points. My OCD just wanted those numbers to be the same.
Well, and those teams are going in different directions right now.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Hamilton and Mercedes are definitely on the up, and Alonso and Aston Martin, not so much.
Yeah.
That said, I think we're a little bit more encouraging the way they handled, especially with Alonso. I mean, at one point, it did Hamilton when Hamilton made his late pit stop, but they were fifth place.
Chris, you're having that weird dropping out thing where just like every seventh word, we lose you. It's the same thing. It was such a strange, weird technology phenomena.
By the way, you know, talking about...
It's where it's busiest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Talking of sort of mid-term battles, it is going to be a hell of a battle towards the end of the season between Williams, Haas, and Alfa Romeo. And I think of all three of those teams in desperate need of those points, but there's 2 points between them, 7th, 8th, and 9th in the championship. And the difference between 7th and 9th, huge.
Millions
and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Late in that race, I was getting bored, frankly. So I started looking at split times and things. And Logan Sargeant was turning some very competitive laps. I mean, he was way off the pace, well back down the road, but he was moving right along. And I thought, well, you know, where's that coming from now? When everybody gets out of qualifying mode, goes down to race pace, suddenly the Williams looks a lot more competitive. We know it's very quick in a straight line because of taking off downforce, that sort of thing, removing drag. But they were doing pretty well around this track.
Yeah, and I think jury's out on Logan Sargeant so far. I'm not saying that because he's American. I'm saying that because I think Albon is at the top of his stride, and Williams are bit by bit, incrementally, both with staff and from where they were 2 years ago, they're slowly making their way back into a competitive car.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Lando Norris referred to this track as high downforce. I don't think so. I think he was on autopilot with his with his answers to the media. Low downforce, high speed.
Yes.
Well, pick, because the middle sector is high downforce. So
well, it's a mix, yes.
But you're right, you need to pick one or the other. And I think most...
Yeah, we're losing you again, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm back, I was also going to say 8-2 Williams drivers. So not huge.
It's hard to quote...
This is almost like a comedy routine. If you remember nothing else that I said, remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like quoting stats with losing every seventh word is not, it just doesn't work.
Leave some holes in the record book. No, he's right. It is a downforce mix. It's, I don't know. I just love the place. It's such a cool track.
Chris, he just texted. He's at 8 seconds. He's filling it in. He said 8 seconds between Williams drivers today.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's see what else. So
Piastri rumored to be going to Red Bull, according to Eddie Jordan.
Piastri?
Yeah.
Don't say Red Bull driver. You know, we were talking about during the race, actually, how would you say there were
six Red Bull juniors in Formula 2 alone. That doesn't count Lawson, who's in Super Formula.
Yeah. What do you do?
And speaking of juniors, we can't let the day go by without pointing out Enzo Fittipaldi.
Yeah, he's American. He's American.
Yeah.
I know he carries the Brazilian flag and all that, but hey, born in Florida. Good boy.
His first
before
F2
I try anything, chaps, of my background.
One in F2.
What's that, Chris?
I said, before am I still dropping out?
You are still dropping out. Sorry.
But the every other word that you're saying is gold.
All right. You know what? Let's take a break, and maybe we'll try to get Chris to get reset, and we'll be back after
these. We'll have to launch a satellite or something to get Chris back.
Yeah, call Elon.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built, Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin, online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, this is Karan Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, gentlemen, let's see. What have we not talked about? The Haas F1 team, let's see, today. So we finished 15th and 18th, and that's better than they've been finishing lately?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think the form guide is true there. You know, Haas... it wasn't a bad performance. They've had worse, as it were, and so it's good to see them finishing, both of them, etc.
But I wrote down most of the pit stops today. The fastest I saw was 2-2, and that was Tsunoda and Perez. And the slowest, both Haas cars, 3.1 for Magnussen and 3.9 for Hülkenberg. That wasn't the slowest of the day. There was Albon had a 4.8, but that sounds like an outlier, maybe something. But you know, it's like I've been noticing the Haas pit stops haven't been fast. It's like it's just not clicking for Haas right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on it, and especially now everybody's head will start to turn to 24, whether by choice or by necessity in some ways. It's too late to sort out the problems you've got in today's car, so you've got to kind of look forward. That's just Formula One for you.
Yeah, well, some teams have already announced that they're doing that, Mercedes among them.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Chris.
Say, actually, Gunther Steiner in his pre-race said that they're not sure when to do working on both, and that next year's car is car, so they're kind of doing stuff that haven't made a switch fully to next year, because they've got problems they still need to solve, and they're trying to put the issues they have with tire wear into next year's car as well.
Right. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of common parts. That just makes sense. And this is a great opportunity, since you cannot test. You may as well go out there and try all sorts of things in the race, and maybe you get lucky. Plus, remember, you know, Haas, for all their trouble this year, are locked in a battle back there where millions of dollars are at stake. And they, you know, they have an incentive to keep battling while teams behind them, like AlphaTauri, continue to struggle. They want to hold that position in the championship, however low it might be.
We did make it through the podium without any incidents today. The trophies stayed in one piece.
Intact, yeah, good.
Yeah, I want one of those $40,000 Hungarian trophies.
The porcelain masterpiece. Yeah, that caused quite the kerfluffle, didn't it? Apparently, it took 6 months to build $40,000 worth, and
Lando whooped it.
Well, and apparently the porcelain in Hungary is well known, world renowned, and that did not go over too well. But,
boys will be boys.
Lando actually made an apology here on Thursday to make it clear, because he joked about it, didn't he, on Sunday night afterwards, Max shouldn't have put it so close to the edge. And it's his trophy, not my problem. But he was like, just to be clear, I felt really bad. I'm very, very sorry. So, yeah, he did apologize in the end. But it was one of those where he just kind of had to, I think, make sure that it was clear that he didn't do anything intentionally, because, as you say, it did not go down well locally.
Right.
Hey, Chris, did we break that news about Otmar Szafnauer's year-long contract where he can't
bargaining leave?
Yeah.
In a way. It was something I actually managed to speak to him about. We had on racer.com to do a plug about the fact that he had a year's gardening leave from F1, but I didn't have the detail that he meant only teams and that he couldn't go and work in F1 still for Formula One themselves, or maybe the FIA or something like that. So, yeah, we got more on it today. That was us kind of clarifying it or taking it further. So, a little scoop there, which suggested to me as well that he's thinking along those lines, that for the next year at least, he'll still be around, just maybe working for the FIA, maybe working with Formula One themselves, some other capacity other than with the team.
Got to pay the bills.
Hey, Chris, what was the Hamilton weaving incident that was going on?
So that was, I think, just after he'd come out of the pits, and he was ahead of Lance Stroll, and Hamilton was trying to make sure he could defend from Stroll, who had DRS and was getting a run on him. Pretty sure it was at that point. If it wasn't, it was another car that was attacking him. And he went to the inside on the Kemmel straight and then went back to the racing line and then went back to the inside again just to kind of try and break the toe. So whoever was following him wasn't in like next to him. He wasn't kind of swerving dangerously in that sense. He was just moving a bit too much to potentially break the toe, and they just noted it, but let it go in the end, said it was fine.
Has Hamilton, to you guys, he feels like more of the Hamilton of old right now. He feels like he's got his mojo back.
I know the car's good too.
But.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. Because beginning of the season, it was sort of touch and go as where we thought he was actually motivated, and the contract's been bubbling underneath and all the rest of it. I agree. I actually think fastest lap today shows it. I think he is waiting in the wings, and that eighth title is still on his mind.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But, I hark back to that collision with Sergio in the sprint race, which I am not convinced was not Hamilton's fault, although everybody seems to call it a racing incident.
I
think if you look closely at his hands as the two cars came together, there's a certain amount of this going on. I don't know. Maybe it's just the aggressive Hamilton. Maybe he's just tired or thinks he's becoming a doormat. He wants to go out there and make a point.
To be honest, he made a decision. I saw it in slow-mo on the F1 post show. They broke it down. And what you notice, I think it was Sam Collins that broke it down on the F1 Pro. You notice that he goes for the apex and then basically slides into Perez, because he gets on the right-hand side of the car, gets onto the wet part of the track, or at least the rumble strips, and it sends him left, and you see him over-adjusting, oversteering, and he basically oversteered into Perez. There was a gap, but he closed that gap by having to turn left.
I didn't see
more
that,
so.
Because
yeah.
I was... yesterday I was like, oh, that was not.
No, me too. That's why I went back and looked at it, because I was like, that was, I agree with Weber said, Jolyon Palmer said, not a penalty in my mind. But when you actually analyze it frame by frame, you can see that the fault was with Hamilton.
Mm. Yeah, I think one thing I would say in Hamilton's defense was that Perez was trying to squeeze him a bit as well. Didn't use all the road himself on the exit, trying to make it hard for Hamilton. Now, it wasn't to create contact. And as you say, with what happened with Hamilton then triggered it. But I think that kind of shows it's both of them racing hard. I'd
I want to see that car punished. I mean, you don't want to see that result of the damage. But if you say they can't do that, drivers are not going to try and overtake. He's fully alongside. You've got to give it a go.
Yeah.
And if he's told that's going to be a penalty, especially in the sprint, they're trying to get people to race in the sprint.
I know.
Now they're all going to be like, well, not worth it. Just going to get a penalty. Might get some damage. So why bother? I think that was like more than and a 5 second time penalty seems small, but in a sprint, that's more penalty, like more punishing. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of sided with that should have been allowed to go.
Yeah, I still don't think it
was interesting.
Penalty, yeah.
It was interesting that he quoted Ayrton Senna from the famous Jackie Stewart interview, where Senna said, "You know, there was a gap, and if there's a gap, I'll take it.
Yeah.
If you don't go for it,
you're not racing.
When there's a gap, you're not a racing driver.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Chris, you're there to see the drivers in person. What do you think about what I was saying about Hamilton, that he's got his mojo back? You know, because I feel like we have, that's one of our best barometers to look at Formula One drivers, just to see them and see how their body language and everything. How is Hamilton?
Yeah, I think it's getting there. I don't think it's consistent. I think we're seeing it in the results that he's just a bit more comfortable with this car. He's kind of got his head around these regulations and the direction he wants to push Mercedes in. And that's why he's getting more out of it than Russell at the moment. And it was something that Mike Elliott, who is now, I believe, chief technical officer, having been technical director at Mercedes, he was saying this morning that the car's very hard to drive, really tricky cars to drive, and the Mercedes in particular. And that George is just struggling slightly with that at the moment and has for a couple of races. Lewis is just dealing with it slightly better. And I think that with the adversity that's coming his way, even though they're not fighting for wins, he is responding with getting that bit more out of the car than George. And that's always a good sign for him as well, that of kind of the headspace he's in. And it may be that he's just seen a bit of a realization from Mercedes that, you know, the direction they need to go in, the work they need to do to really close that gap to Red Bull. And any frustration of earlier in the year when things were not going well, but also you felt, well, if it was going better, we could be fighting for a championship. That's gone. They've moved on from that now. You know, they've written it off. They're trying to find gains to be better next year, but they're not, you know, they're already second in the championship. That's as good as it's going to get. I think that the mind's been focused on the bigger project again. I think that's kind of where he is, which does mean he fluctuates. There's times he looks, I agree, fully on it, total mojo back. And there's other times where he's just a bit down. So that's kind of where I feel Lewis is at the moment. Just wanted to pivot slightly to Alpine, though. We mentioned, didn't we, pre-race, that there'd been a Twitter clip going around of Otmar Szafnauer maybe jumping in a car or something and leaving. Completely false in terms of that was him leaving this track. No, he was here, he won the race. He may well have gone now because most teams do try and just disappear quickly from Spa, even when it's not the last race before the summer break. But the team have clarified that clip was false if it was insinuating that he'd left before the race today.
I hate getting suckered by Twitter. I usually don't. And I saw it, and it was by a pretty big Twitter account. Anyway, hey, Chris, you caught up with Ocon. I want to wait till after this quick break, but I do want to talk about one of the highlights of the race, actually, a fantastic move by Ocon around the outside of Tsunoda. I want you to talk about it, but right before that straightaway, I saw the trap speed, as they call it in drag racing. He was 340 kilometers an hour. What's that, like 210 plus miles an hour? But that was a fantastic move around Tsunoda, wasn't it, for Ocon?
Absolutely. I mean, it was right on the edge because he had to squeeze Tsunoda, a bit like I was saying about with Perez, trying to not give Hamilton too much room. The way Ocon's doing it is trying to say to Tsunoda, you need to lower your speed so you don't hit me here, by pinching him towards the apex a bit, and then getting on the throttle quickly enough to be ahead for the left-hander. Really nicely handled in still low grip conditions, because even if the track had dried out, the shower would have taken away any rubber that had gone down in the race. We'd had no rubber go down the rest of the weekend because of the rain. You know, it's been low grip all weekend. So to pull something off like that was very impressive.
Okay, well, coming up right after this, we are going to hear from Esteban Ocon. He was the biggest mover of the race, went up six spots. Listening to Speed City, back after these messages. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstop Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I'm not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Alstad beer, fantastic. And I'm, you know, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadt Beer, altstadtbeer.com. Altstadt Beer, altstadtbeer.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Speed City.
Thank you, Jeff Gordon, for bringing us back.
What a star.
See, we're inclusive, we're sustainable, and we are
worldwide.
Because we include NASCAR in our coverage.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Yes, dilly dilly.
Okay, we're going to hear this interview that Chris Medlin did with the biggest mover of the race today, Esteban Ocon.
Ocon.
Here we go.
I've got Esteban. Esteban, you were the biggest mover today out there, made the most positions. Yeah, how does that feel?
It feels good. It was a lot of fun. It was a very, very fun race out there. A lot of cool battles. Similar to last year, really. I think we started maybe 15th or 16th last year, came 7th. So not as good as last year, but, you know, still a very satisfying one before going on holidays.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, it's been a tough time for the team. How good is it to see the execution? Obviously, Pierre's third yesterday and then more points for you today.
Yeah, I think there's no better way to go on holidays. As I said, it was a very strong day yesterday for Pierre and for the team. You know, glad that we secure such a result. And today, the fighting spirit that we showed, you know, really, it's not a coincidence. You know, we are bringing some updates to the car, and, you know, it's paying off. And that's what we need to keep on doing. And as I said, super encouraging. And I hope everyone at Virin Enstone sees that.
And just as we fight through the disco here in the middle of the paddock, what
we're
are your...
not at the party yet. We are not there.
No, you still got a debrief to do. But what are your thoughts on all the changes and what's gone on recently at the team?
Well, my part of the job is definitely to focus, you know, on what I have to do, which is, you know, bringing the result, you know, with the car, and, you know, I just need to perform. That's all I'm focused on.
Okay, well, thank you. Have a good break.
Thank you.
Grandmaster Ocon.
They were definitely jamming out, rocking out there in the background. Let's see, what else we got here, gentlemen? How did Mr. Gasly do today?
Not as good. But it's been a good weekend for Gasly.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, he finished 11th,
just outside the points. I mean, you know,
this is certainly not his favorite racetrack or event, especially as he was close friends with Antoine Hubert,
yes,
who died off the track in 2019.
He's made that tradition, hasn't he? Of putting
Gasly plants flowers by the side of the accident every year.
Yeah, and
he was outspoken about not running in the rain too.
Yes he was. Yeah.
Yeah. He was one of the most outspoken about that, obviously, with his friendship with Antoine Hubert. Looking also...
You know, and we lost a Formula 3 driver recently as well.
I think it was Formula 4, or was it? No.
Yeah, it was the regional series.
Yeah,
Formula regional.
You're right. It was Formula 3. Yeah, and I feel embarrassed that
I don't remember
his name. But it was in the middle of the rain. And it was... Wasn't it at the top of Eau Rouge, right, where he had... He'd gone off, hit the wall, and spun out and sat in the middle of the track. And...
That's what they're trying to avoid more than anything, yeah. That's the worst part.
At Radion, yeah. Blind left-hander over the top of the hill above Eau Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what do you do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a tough one.
There's no great solution. So.
You know, I know they say it's the summer break, but can any of the teams do, I mean, you know, Could we see this time being used by a McLaren or an Aston Martin to kind of, you know, move forward again, one more step?
Not for 2 weeks. The rules stipulate for 2 weeks.
They can't go in the factory.
3 to 8. Yeah, you lock the doors. Nobody can go to work. But then you get like a week or two before we get back in action in the Netherlands. And the teams come back to work to get ready.
Okay.
Hey, Jonathan, I saw an article on racer.com actually talking about how Ricardo was trying to, he was mindful of avoiding the trap that ended his McLaren run.
Yeah. I put that in my stories. Yeah. The basic precedent being that he was almost too hard on himself at McLaren, and it got to him, and his happy-go-lucky, he didn't even believe his own smile. If you like. Mm. And so he doesn't want to fall into putting that pressure on himself. And I think, you know, he came in there thinking, you know, I'm the big I am. I've got 8 wins and Lando's just starting out. And I think because Lando outperformed him and some, that he literally lost his mojo. Simple as that, if you want to put it in psychological terms. And he's determined not to be affected that way, and to look at it more in a 1,000-meter rule type thing, which is not to get too bogged down and just enjoy racing and know he still has the talent, he hasn't lost it.
That's exactly the way he put it after his first race back. He was saying, I'm just enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And you could feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I was saying earlier, talking to Chris, it's like you can feel it. I want to ask Chris that when he comes back on. He's going to join us back here in a minute. But about how does Ricardo look, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You really can tell. So, but that was, you know, and I think that's a lesson for a lot of F1 drivers, right? It reminds me of golf, right? It's such a mental game, and And I hear anyway. I don't know anything about.
You know, and this is personal, really, because he's a mate. But I do feel for Liam Lawson because they're now talking about Ricciardo staying another year at AlphaTauri, because obviously Perez is staying where he is for now, anyway, or contractually, anyway. And therefore, that means that Lawson has to wait another year. And what does Lawson do? Does he carry on the pit wall, you know, and keep doing Super Formula regardless of whether he wins it or not, or? You know, it's a tough one for all the Red Bull guys because they're queuing up now. You know, Crawford's coming quick too.
Bob Varsha, I want to ask you about the useless full wet tires as we saw in the rain this weekend.
Yeah, there were some complaints up and down the pit lane. Again, I think Pierre Gasly was one of the most outspoken that the full wet weather tire from Pirelli, not the intermediate, which is only lightly treaded, but the full deep treads of the wet tire that can pump away something like 60 liters of water per second at 100 miles an hour. The problem appears to come when they're running slower than that, and they're not effective, apparently. And Pirelli significantly agreed with him, some of the comments, about needing to work on that full wet weather tire because... You know, it's the tire you're going to be on when it rains heavily at a place like Spa. So they felt the need to call Pirelli's attention to that. Now, what'll happen, I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting that, A, the drivers spoke out, and B, the tire company said, yeah, we need to do that.
Yeah. Okay, well, Chris Medlin.
This is all taking place while there's a tire competition going on for the further supply in Formula One. I guess Bridgestone offered more money, but Pirelli, I think, will probably get it back.
You almost said tire war, didn't you?
I almost said tire war, yeah. Yeah, which kind of is. Well, of course, I'm not home in Atlanta, in which case I would have said tar war.
Tire war.
It's just a skirmish. Okay.
Pirelli got a big old place down in Atlanta, too.
Chris is out with his microphone, and he is caught up with Christian Horner.
Christian, a tough first half of the year. I mean, how are you going to get Red Bull to bounce back from this?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, wow. So going to summer break thinking we haven't lost a Grand Prix really since Brazil last year or a sprint race. It's an incredible achievement, isn't it? But it's not just the drivers doing an incredible job. It's all the guys behind and girls behind the scenes doing, you know, an incredible and working such a high level. And that's why we sent Greg up to get the trophy today. You know, he's one of our tire technicians, and yeah, they've had a nightmare this weekend. Inters, extremes, softs, mediums. You know, they've had everything thrown at them, but it's all about, you know, the team working in a collective manner.
Yeah, and they've had to do that. I wanted to pick up on one thing that happened during this weekend between Max and GP, his race engineer. They just seemed to have a bit of needle this weekend. Was that just because you guys have got bored with how smooth it's been going?
Look, that's been going on for about 6 years. So, Max is a tough customer, and he would break many race engineers. And you've got to have somebody that's got self-assurance to be able to deal with that. And you know, GP's are Jason Statham equivalent. You know, and there's a trust and a bond between the two of them. And, you know, sometimes it sounds like they need a bit of marriage counseling, but there's a great respect and a great trust between the two of them. And I think that's, you know, as any top sportsman, they lean on the people around them. And I think, you know, GP is the one having that interaction.
Yeah, and it's led to Max being at such a high level for so long. Yeah. With Checo, it's been more up and down this year, but today we saw him do the job, get second place, no dramas with the overtaking move that went on. You happy with kind of the response you've had from after a tough run for him?
Yeah, look, I mean, he's qualified on the front row, he's led the Grand Prix, he's finished second, he's extended his lead in second in the championship. He's driving against Max Verstappen that nobody could beat in this car, I believe. And I think that he'll take, you know, a lot of positives from this weekend and hopefully have a good break, and I'm sure he'll come back fully motivated for after the shutdown.
Speaking of a break, you're going to go on one, I'm sure, as well. But does it change the way you then will be approaching things in the second half of the season in terms of, you know, car development for the future, that sort of thing, having had this start?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's same approach to every Grand Prix, and you know, one race at a time and trying to maximise our chances. We took the gearbox penalty here. You know, we've dealt that. We've got that in the pool now. So Zandvoort will be mad just because it's Dutch and the home support for Max. But you know, we need to go there and come out the blocks like we've gone into the break and the previous 11 races to that.
Dreaming of a perfect season?
No. I mean, look, there's still 10 races to go. I mean, to have won what we've done is mind-boggling, but I don't think any of us is allowing to let ourselves be distracted by thinking about that. It's about one race, one session at a time.
We'll ask you after each race, don't worry.
I'm sure you will.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.
Question of the day.
Absolutely.
How can you bounce back from this?
That was great.
Beautiful.
By the way,
fifth, what do finish of the year for those guys?
But yeah, by the way, just to show you where Red Bull's head is, Red Bull Ford preparing to fire up the 2026 engine in the next few weeks.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That I hadn't heard.
Yep. First complete unit will be running on a test bench with the combustion engine MGUK and battery, Dr. Helmut Marko told Speedweek in Spa.
And every other team on the grid just deflated.
We think we're on a par with Mercedes in terms of development.
Well, yeah, it's and I think it's worth noting that engine development costs are not, as I understand it, included under the cost cap. So that's kind of an open-ended proposition for them as a line item of the budget. That's and also, speaking of engines, there's stories going around that Audi is months and months behind schedule in its efforts to get its bench testing up and running. And they've also moved their CEO out, a guy named Marcus Duesmann, who was a big fan and maybe the biggest single force at the executive level behind Audi going into Formula One. Part of which they're funding by completely shutting down their customer racing programs, which is a huge disappointment, I'm sure, to a lot of fans and drivers and what have you here in the United States and around the world. You're not going to get company financial support for customer racing at the GT level as Audi pours resources into Formula One.
Hey, you know what? I bet you Audi is paying attention to Aston Martin. Have you guys seen what the car sales have resulted? That they are attributing directly to the success in Formula One. They've had a huge spike in Aston Martin road car sales.
In this country or
I think globally. Uh-huh. I don't know. I didn't look that closely at it, but...
Well, not me. I personally don't go... price checking Aston Martins. I'm just a simple contributor to this radio show. I'm not a, you know, an equity partner in the proposition.
Well, Bob, I didn't tell you all the Speed City talent is going to get an Aston Martin at the end of the season. That's a surprise.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I recorded that, Bob. And as a lawyer or wannabe lawyer, you could.
It says Hot Wheels on the box.
Okay.
There you go.
I've got the Lego Mercedes.
What's that, Casey?
That's a bunch of malarkey.
I thought that was Casey talking to me.
No.
All right, guys, let's get our last break in, and we got Chris Medlin back. We'll discuss some more with him after this.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This Memorial Day, raise a glass to those who served.
and let Blinds.com raise the bar on home decor. Serving up style with huge summer savings. Blinds.com is the better way to get custom window treatments. Online with upfront pricing and no salespeople at your door or inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable for you. Choose from premium blinds, shutters, motorized options, and outdoor shades for your patio. Just in time for summer fun. Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home and even send free samples. Plus, you can get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. All backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale happening now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Speed City.
All right, I'm going to go straight out to Chris Medlin out in Spa because we said it during the break, Chris, but man, that was a fantastic interview with Christian Horner. You have a fantastic relationship with him, and I don't know which was better, just the funness of it or the insight we got between Max Verstappen and his engineer. That's a very interesting take on that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a fascinating point of view that Christian has, because of course he's got to deal with both. He's got to keep both happy. He can't pick a side in that battle and say, to GP, do whatever Max says, or to Max, do whatever your race engineer says. Like, he's kind of got to let them find it out between themselves and just sit back and watch. And he's got a pretty good seat to watch it, hasn't he, when he's there on the pit wall. So I thought it was really cool insight for him to give, and it was just, we had to find something new to focus on. But it was just notable this week. I wondered, actually, I won't lie, I genuinely, when I said to him, are you just bored, I did wonder if they thought, you know what, let's just add some tension, because everyone's saying that we're not getting any coverage, or we're not getting heard from, and if there's a radio message or two that's a bit spicy, let's just see if that gets a bit of coverage. It would have given, I feel like Max has that capacity when he's cruising, that he could have that sort of fun, but we'll have to see if that is true. Now, there was something else that we were talking about in the break, that was a message, I think, was it on the YouTube comments from one of our readers, that was about the wet weather tyre. And I've grabbed Mario Isola again, because some very interesting comments from you earlier today, Mario, about Formula One needs to work out where it's heading in the future. And if they're not going to run races or cars in conditions when the full wet's needed, then let us just develop one solid super intermediate tire to run in the wet.
That's an option. Or if we want to run the cars with a high level of water, because we find a solution to reduce the level of spray, we can develop two products, but we need to decide and to start in one direction.
Is there a lot of wastage that you get each race weekend if teams aren't using that full wet? Do they know that they're just never going to use it?
Yeah, that's a slightly different issue, because in that case, we are working on a different solution. At the moment, we carry over a new tire in Europe, but we cannot do that outside for custom issues. So we have to return the rims to the teams, and we can transport the tires. But you know that when we strip the tires from the rims, there is the risk to damage the bit. That's why we don't want to reuse them. We are doing some specific tests in order to check if we have a damage or if we can use them again. And in that case, we can fit them for a second time and reduce the wastage. The point is that we cannot predict the rain. We need to be ready to fit all the tires for wet condition, but we don't know if it is going to rain, other than maybe in Bahrain or Abu Dhabi, where it's very difficult to have a wet condition.
Yeah, and but you were saying earlier today that you, I guess, suggest potentially Formula One needs to choose what it wants to do. Yeah, are we going to have races in heavily wet conditions, or if we're not, then let's make everything else much better.
Yeah, because the problem for us is to find the right condition for testing. At the moment, we can test only in Port Ricard or Fiorano. They are the only two circuits where you can artificially wet the track and keep a consistent condition. This weekend, we had the opportunity to test them because it was raining, but also we have to pay attention when we analyze the data, because the track was changing every 5 minutes. And for you believe that one tire is better than another, and then you discover that it's the opposite. So in that case, it was clear that we have to improve the full wet tire. But also yesterday, for example, during the sprint race, when the safety car was out, it was in proper wet condition, but it was impossible to evaluate the performance because they were following the safety car. After four laps, the safety car ended, it was already in the crossover with the intermediate tire. So it's really difficult to find a condition that is consistent, representative, and comparable. And that's why it's so difficult to develop a wet weather tire.
Thank you very much for that explanation. That was perfect. And that hopefully has answered the question from the comment from one of our listeners. So much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. And a very good point. You know, you don't think about it that way, but how do you analyze? I mean, you know, like a track like today, I mean, it could be raining on one corner and not the other. So the only way to do it, as he says, is to use artificial wet weather, you know, wet tracks, artificially wet. Interesting.
Yeah, fascinating, Chris.
Yeah, I have my moments.
So while you have your moments, Mr. Team Manager, you are the all oracle of all things. Who is going to be the new head of Alpine?
Good.
So I did put the name Mattia Binotto to them yesterday, it was, when I was having a chat down there. And while they agreed that, yes, that would be a lovely person to have, and there's a great name, and some other people have rumoured it, there was nothing internally that suggested there was anything afoot on that front. They, if anything, they kind of thought, it doesn't sound like that's a possibility. So I think the problem with Alpine right now is the lack of a plan of what to do next.
Yeah,
I don't think they have it in place. I think it's why it came out on a Friday of a race weekend that then Permain and Zaffner both worked. You normally would have planned this ahead, and you know, Pat Fry was leaving, they knew from April, and it got announced this Friday with Williams. You know, that you have a timeline for these things and you pick out when's best to say them. This will happen very quickly at Alpine, and I think it's a bit of almost a knee-jerk reaction to some unhappiness in the change of CEO and Bruno Famin coming in. So I think we're going to see Famin do that for the rest of this season, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it goes fairly well, or he feels happy with it, whether there's a slightly different structure and he brings someone else in who's not team principal and he fulfills that role.
Interesting. Yeah, I do think it's interesting. I think this is a culmination of their different iterations for the last few years. Renault, Benetton, you know, all the way back to years ago. I mean, they've kind of lost an identity. And I when they became Alpine, I was like, well, now what, you know?
I do like your ruminations on the culminations of those. What was the last one?
Iterations.
Thank you. Guys, we are almost out of time on the show, but we are about to head into a summer break. I just want to get y'all's take on where we are at this point. I mean, we had some comments here on YouTube saying
Andretti's going to buy it, Alpine, and he's going to run it. That's our man in Thailand.
Okay, yeah, I
from
saw
Udan.
That.
He knows what's going on this well.
He does.
Thailand are queued in.
Yeah. Michael said he's talked with everybody, and everybody has said not for sale.
Yeah. Maybe that was before the Alpine meltdown, though, so who knows?
Well, maybe so.
Chris, any mid-season? I know you and I'll be doing wheel-to-wheel, but any mid-season
pontification.
Exactly. Pontifications at this point.
I'm starting to get ever more edgy about my insistence that Red Bull won't win every race, I will admit. There's a little bit of that coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm torn about whether I want to see it or not, because we've never seen it before. And yeah, Let's be honest, there's no championship battle to be had now. So is that actually something we want to see? I'm still fascinated to see how it's going to go for some of these teams behind them, though. I think it's on a knife edge. You know, someone like McLaren with the weekend they've just had versus a Mercedes or a Ferrari or, mm-hmm, or even an Alpine at certain times. I think we can see like the ups and downs. I think we'll cause people to crack later in the year. I think we're going to have some flashpoints still where drivers or team bosses are really not happy at lack of performance one weekend and delighted at it the next. So, there's no certainty, is there, anywhere beyond Red Bull? And I think that's just something I really hope continues, because That is still a fascinating aspect that could get better as the season goes on, even though we know there's no title fight to be had.
You know what, guys? I think I've cracked this whole Alpine thing.
Okay.
There have been new personalities injected into that organization. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney are investing in Alpine. You probably saw the stories.
Right.
And given what they accomplished with the Wrexham Soccer Club in Wales, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we see Ryan Reynolds standing on the pit wall. You know, Brad Pitt got involved. Yep. So Ryan and Rob get involved.
And it's not and it's not a small share either. 200 million.
Yeah.
They're voting with their
more
feet.
Than 20%. I think the valuation was 24.5% after that. Yeah.
There's your new team brain trust at Alpine.
There you go. Ted Lasso that'll for work. Alpine that'll boss.
Work. There you go. Yeah.
One other thing heading into summer break, though, as well, it's going to be the new team talk, whether we get anything about Andretti's bid.
Yeah.
Really going to be trying to stay on top of that. I'm not going on holiday, so I'll try and make sure I actually do keep on top of it. And we'll see if, by the time we come back to a race, at least, that they've had an answer there.
Yeah, well, we are out of time. Chris, do we do Wheel to Wheel all the way through, or do we take a week off or something?
We do it all the way through. We're going to have a good time on the show. We had a big interview with him.
Who's the boss here?
We're going to be busy.
Yeah.
And by the way, we do Sunday Night with Speed City all the way through.
Oh,
so
we do.
Every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Austin time, we're live. So we're going to carry you through. You don't have to worry. You're going to be able to make it through.
We'll give you a fix.
Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in. And of course, like I just said, we'll talk to you next Sunday night. We'll talk to you Wednesday on Wheel to Wheel.
Happy trails.
Thanks, everybody.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.